After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go, tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death.
Well, good morning. It's great to have all of us here today to celebrate this Resurrection Sunday. And it's fantastic to be able to look out and see lots of new people and lots of visitors joining us today. We're glad that you're here. If we haven't met, my name's Paul Kupke. I'm one of the pastors here. I hope that you feel very warmly welcomed and that this is very helpful for you as you think through what Easter is really about. Today we talk about a topic that is quite heavy in death, but there is perhaps no better day of the year to be talking about it than the one that Jesus rose from the dead, completely changing what that looks like forever. So before we do that, I'd like to pray and then we'll get started. Lord Jesus, you are truly risen from the dead. Death could not hold you down. And we thank you that we have this privilege of gathering here today to open your word, to see what you have to say about what is a really tough topic for us to deal with. We thank you that you're alive and that death cannot hold you down. And so we pray that as we look at this stuff today, you'd help me to be clear and that you would speak into our hearts. We would understand this stuff, that it wouldn't just be information, but that it would actually change our lives. Pray this for your glory. Amen. As a pastor tells a story of visiting a Benedictine monastery in New Mexico. As they were walking from the place where they had prayed to the place where they were going to eat lunch together, they walked past a cemetery. Noticing an open grave, his wife asked, "Did someone just die?" And the people walking with him said, "No, that's for the next one." Three times a day, these brothers go from praying together to eating together, and they go past an empty grave every time, reminding them that one of them will be the next one. It's one of the great certainties of life in our world, even more certain than taxes, that there will be a next one. But how do you feel about the idea of having three daily reminders of that fact? It seems somewhat of a morbid attitude for us in our culture where we have this widespread denial of death. When people talk about it, they can become paralyzed. And they would want to talk about something, literally anything else. Death might be a reality that we all have to face. But there's a wrongness to death in our world, isn't there? There's a reason why it brings up such strong emotions of anger and fear and disappointment, pain. They're real experiences of what death looks like in our world. There are some people in this room going through all of them right now. Many of us will at some stage in our lives. So as we gather here this morning with the death of Jesus firmly in our minds, we have this longing to experience the hope and the wonder and the glory of Jesus' resurrection as He triumphs over death and to deliver the hope from that. Because the resurrection changes everything. It allows us to shake our fist in defiance of death's bitterness. It gives us hope instead of fear as we look forward to living in a world where there will always be a next one. The resurrection is good news this Easter morning. Death didn't have the last word on Jesus. And for those who belong to Him, it will not have the last word on us either. Death is destroyed. Its power is gone. It will be swallowed up in Christ's victory. The very first thing to notice this morning as we reflect on death on this resurrection day is that death invaded our world because of sin. The reason why death seems so wrong is that it hasn't always been that way in our world. The world that God created was a good world. In fact, very, very good. We had everything that we needed for life in the garden, and it was all there in abundance. There was no pain. There was no suffering. There was no decay of aging. The bitterness that we know of death only entered our world because of sin. Have a look at what God says to Adam in the Garden of Eden in chapter 2 of Genesis. It says this, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die.'" From the moment that Adam and Eve sinned by eating that same fruit a chapter later, death became a certainty for Adam and all of humankind that would come from him. The mortality rate for humanity set at a certain 100%. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. The Bible is clear and there's no use pretending that it's not. Death entered into our world as a result of sin and the corruption that it brought with it. A grieving father at a funeral of his infant son who died at a tragic accident understood this well. As he spoke through his grief with a quivering voice, he said that no parent should ever have to bury their child. He pointed out that every death is ultimately the result of sin. And he said that as he held his infant child dead in hospital, he saw the face of sin. The mask of sin had been ripped off and he saw sin for what it was. The enemy that will one day steal from us everything and everyone that we have ever loved. sin and the death it brought was an utter tragedy for our world. Even Jesus himself had to deal with the bitterness of death in this world and the invasion that it is when he approached the tomb of his good friend Lazarus in John chapter 11. Jesus wept. Even as he knew that through his coming death and resurrection, there would be a permanent solution for it. He wept anyway. This brings us to the next thing for us to notice about death this morning. Death could not hold Jesus. On Good Friday, it looked like sin and death had won, as evil men nailed God's eternal Son to the cross and let him die. It looked like sin and death had won. The disciples once more experienced the bitterness of death, their hopes crushed. But death could not hold Jesus. Look at how one of the most distraught disciples describes it to a Jerusalem crowd only 50 days later. This is what he says: "But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold of him." What Peter describes here is the agony of death is actually the birth pains of a woman. Like, it's impossible for a woman to be able to hold back a birth so that a father or a doctor can arrive. It is similarly impossible for death to be able to hold on to Jesus. It could only keep him until Sunday morning. And it was on that Sunday morning that we celebrate today that the angel was able to announce to the women in the tomb, "Do not be afraid. For I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said." Jesus is indeed risen, just as he predicted that he would be. Jesus' resurrection is decisive and it's final. This is quantitatively different than all the other resurrections like Lazarus's that went on beforehand, where they came back to life and then died again. Paul says that Jesus will never die again. In his resurrection, he defeated death once and for all, including the one who had power over death, the devil. Now, death entered our world because of sin, but the cross changed all of that. Jesus was the only perfect person who ever lived, the only person who death had no hold over. So when Jesus took our sins upon him on the cross, he could pay for them completely. He received the wages of sin. But sin was rendered completely powerless. It could not hold him any more than a pregnant woman can hold back a baby that was coming. Without sin, death has no sting. Its power is gone. For those who belong to Jesus, the price of our sin has been paid. Sin cannot pay its wages now. Death used to be able to hold our sins against us. But since those price has been paid, it cannot hold our sins against us anymore. Do you know what that means? Death is bankrupt. Not only that,
But look who it is that's holding the keys of death. It's Jesus. He has snatched them away from the devil. Have a look at how he describes himself in Revelation chapter 1. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades, or hell. This is the wonderful news of the cross and the resurrection. The keys to death rest in the hands of the one who cannot die. The one who loves us more than we could ever know. Death is not sovereign. Jesus is. Sin did not triumph. Jesus did. The grave could not hold him. In fact, Jesus robbed the grave of all its power. It is now bankrupt. This points us towards the next truth about death. Death has an end date. Death might be the occupying power in our world, but it's run out of money. It can't pay its wages. Jesus holds the keys. The battle might be bitter right now, but it will not last forever. Have a look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians in the passage that we read just before I started here, from verse 21. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in turn. Christ, the first fruits, and then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom of God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power, for he must reign until all his enemies are under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Paul says that for the Christian, Jesus' resurrection guarantees our own. Adam's actions and sin led us all into death. But that is not the end of the story of the world. Because Christ, when he was raised, never to die again, was raised as the first of many. One day he is going to return, and then when he does, he will raise all of those who belong to him. At the cross, Jesus took away death's ability to accuse and punish us. Sin's ability to do those things was broken. When Jesus returns, sin's presence and sin's pain will also be no more. Death is defeated. Death will be destroyed. It will be swallowed up in victory. Death will be dead. Paul is so confident about this that he can actually taunt death. Have a look a bit further along in our passage in verse 54. He says this, "Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord," or through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you might say, but this is just a magician's sleight of hand. You've just told us how bitter and terrible death is, and then over here you've distracted us with something that's better in the future. I'm here to tell you, it's not just a sleight of hand. It's far more practical than that. the father who held his dead infant son in that story earlier would know. Through his difficulties and bitterness, he was able to raise a fist in defiance of death. This is what he said. He didn't try to convince people that all was well, as if this is just a sleight of hand and it's not a problem. But he raises his fist when he says this: "People try and tell me that I'll eventually be at peace with my son Jack's death. But I will never be at peace with death. The Bible tells me one day that I will be at peace, but only when death is no more." As Christians, we don't need to pretend that death is nothing. It is not something that is okay in our world. It is an invasion in our world as a result of sin. But like you would defy a spent, bankrupt, soon to be overthrown, occupying power, the resurrection of Jesus Christ on Easter Sunday means that a Christian can shake their fist in defiance of death. Jesus rendered it bankrupt at the cross. He holds its keys, and there will be a day when it is no more. On that day, sin will be completely vacant from its existence. Will have complete freedom from it. The last enemy will be destroyed. Death will be dead. And that brings us to the perspective that we need as we live here, waiting for death to be overthrown. Death ushers the Christian into life. While they are experiencing the bitterness of death as they approach Lazarus's tomb, Jesus said these words to Lazarus's sister Mary: "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Jesus' promise looks forward to the events of Easter in his death and his resurrection. He says that those who believe in him will live, even though they die. Jesus' resurrection is the guarantee of our own. Death is not the end for those who believe in Jesus, but it is the entrance into glorious eternal life, free of the presence of sin, where we can enjoy Jesus forever. Jesus' question to Mary remains a valid one for us today. Do you believe this? If you're not sure, now is the time to figure it out. The offer Jesus gives us is not as significant as life or death. It's actually more significant than that. Because the promise that Jesus is making is that for those who believe in him, there will not be true death, but a glorious entrance into the resurrection life. Like Jesus, never to die again. Do you believe this? Because of Easter, Christians know the one that has gone into the grave and come back out. The one who has died and rose again. The one who holds the keys to death and hell. It is because of Easter and the resurrection that Christians need not fear death. For we have the hope that if we belong to Him, death will usher us into eternal life. For those who don't belong to Jesus, if you do not believe, death can only ever be an enemy. This broken world, tainted by sadness and sin, is the best that you will ever know. But for those who do believe and belong to Jesus, death is not only an enemy, but it's also more deeply a friend. Because this sadness and the difficulties of this world will be as bad as it is ever going to be. The resurrection transforms death from being a bitter poison to being a bitter medicine, to being a sword that painfully pierces our heart, to being a painful but life-giving syringe. For one, death is a doorway to darkness. For the other, to doorway to Narnia. This is captured beautifully in a hymn written in French in 1832 by a guy by the name of H.A. Caesar Millan. An Englishman, George W. Buthane, was so captivated by it that he translated it into English in 1847 and requested that it be sung at his funeral. While we wait for death's final overthrow here in this life, when Jesus returns, His resurrection gives us hope that all death can do is usher us into a glorious resurrection life. It is a painful but life-giving syringe. It is not death to die, to leave this weary road and join the brotherhood on high, to be at home with God. It is not death to close the eye long dimmed by tears and wake in glorious repose to spend eternal years. It is not death to bear the wrench that sets us free from dungeon chain to breathe the air of glorious liberty. It is not death to fling aside this sinful dust and rise on strong exulting wing to live among the just. Jesus, Prince of Life, your chosen cannot die. Like you, they conquer in the strife to reign with you on high. That is the promise of the resurrection. Father, we thank you that you are more powerful than the grave, that your Son's resurrection guarantees our own, that there will be one day in our world where there is no death, no sadness, no sickness or no pain, because sin will be no more. Father, please strengthen us in that truth. For those who don't know it, may today be the day they come to know it for sure. The day that they believe that Jesus died for their sins and rose again, that they may be with you forever. Amen.